Okay, just as a reminder to everyone, he'll be announcing it for a while, no food and drink in the auditorium during services. And gum is banned. I picked all the gum off the, not under the pews, on top of the pews, right where you can sit and see them. I don't know who did it, but I don't care. Oh, yeah, there's stuffing them in the hole where the pencils go. So if you see anybody with gum, tell them go outside. No, do not go outside and spit it out on the concrete, because then I got to go out there with a scraper and scrape it off. Tell them to go put it in trash. Tell them to go put it in the trash. I use a pressure sprayer sometimes to get rid of the gum on the concrete. Anyway, but no food or drink. You can have a bottled water that you can screw the lid back on, okay? But no food or drink in the auditorium during services at Sunday school and church. All right? You got a lid on it, don't you? But after today, it can be a bottled water because that's sugar. And the other problem we have is ants. Not talking to you. I know who I'm talking to.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Let's go to Jonah, chapter number 4. We are in verse number. Anybody got the verse number? My little sticker was never placed back in. Did we finish 1 through 4? Are we starting verse 5? Excellent, excellent. We will easily finish this, Lord willing. Depends on how involved we get. So, all right, we're going to do now verses 4 through 11. We will complete Jonah chapter 4, and we will finish the book. We'll start in verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city. There made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow until he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd. But God prepared a worm then. When the morning rose the next day and smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, the Lord prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Now, Father, this morning I do ask you now to bless the remainder of Jonah to us, Lord. Help us to glean from your word wisdom and understanding, that, Father, we might be better men and women to honor you now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Y'all told me that we did verse 4, correct? Dost thou well to be angry? You know, here's an attitude about all of us. It's not a good idea for us to get angry, period. However, a lot of Christians think they do well getting angry. They think they're justified in being angry. And the main point of this is that the situation you're in, you got nobody to blame but yourself. You did it. Nobody else did it. You did it to yourself. So verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city till he might see what would become of the city. Now, his anger, let's just say he's still not appeased, is he? He went out of the city. He's angry. Nineveh is part of what nation? Assyria. Who's been doing what to Israel? Hurting them bad. God tells them to go to Nineveh, a city that's an enemy, and preach to him. Well, Jonah gets mad because that city's killing his people. Now God's telling him to go witness to that city. They're beating up on Israel. And, we get mad. God tells us to go out in this world and deal with them. We get mad. We don't want to do it. Part of it is because we're afraid. Well, 90% of why we don't serve is we're just afraid. And the other 10% is we're mad at them because all they do is hurt people, or all they do is hurt you. Well, I'll give you 2% for... Well, no, yeah. I got to give you a chunk for lazy because we are lazy. We're all depressed, so we like to sleep. You say, well, I'm not depressed. I need my sleep. Yeah, 8, 10, and 12 hours a day. Give me a break. You're depressed. One of the first signs of depression is, yeah, you're lazy. You want to sleep. That's why it'd do you good to fight it. Get up, go do something. So anyway, I won't say what I do to certain folks. I'll just leave that alone. But I flat tell them you're depressed. Something's bugging you. You need to get it out of your system. In verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city. Jonah took a little faith trek. Y'all know that? Took a little faith trek. He went into the city, told them, if you don't repent, God's going to destroy you in 40 days. They repent. And God says, I'm not going to destroy the city. What? It's probably my beard. That's what's hanging. Yeah, everything I... What? What is it? So I'm a fuzzy person. Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had some hair. Fuzzy Wuzzy was fuzzy, wasn't he? Thank you. All right, so Jonah went out of the city. Jonah takes a little faith trek, hoping to see what the outcome of the city would be. And would it be what he wanted? It's amazing. We do God's will and we say, God, kill him. God, kill him. But he says, go out and witness to him. And then when you're done, God, kill him. You know, I'd like to see an end of all of it. The junk's going on in the government, I'd like to see an end of it. So you know what I'm praying? Y'all need to pray it. They get saved, get right, and they but they're a bunch of babies up there. Well, if they won't get right, they won't do what they're supposed to do, God, get them out of the way. Move them out of the way. Put somebody else there. But, you know, the first thing you should ask, and sometimes we don't want to do it, say, Lord, save them. You know, if a lot of folks would get saved, that's 90% of the battle of at least opening up some part of their mind and heart that was never open. The other 10% is just getting right with God. It's amazing. A lot of folks are going to go to heaven, but they're not going to be happy when they get there about some things. They're going to be happy to see the Lord, but they've done nothing with their knowledge. They've done nothing with their lives. He was mad, and the 40 days were not up. So you know what he was hoping? I think he was going to sit out there for 40 days. I think he was going to sit out there and see if God would honor Jonah's desire. If God honored our desire, there wouldn't be anybody out there. And half the people that are saved and in this church would have never made it anyway. They'd have been dead because you got saved long before they did. And you already wish, hey, Lord, get rid of all of them. I didn't get saved. I was 21, so I probably would have never made it if that kind of attitude prevailed. Now, when you're 4 or 5 or 6 years old and you accept the Lord, maybe it's a little different. But it didn't happen that way for me. He wanted God to change his mind and destroy the city. He wanted God to change his mind and destroy the city. Even though Jonah had a successful revival. See, it's not in man to know his way. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's not in us to know where we should and should not go do or what we should not do. We have to follow this book. If you don't follow the instructions, you don't know what you're doing. You get lost in space between your ears. You just get lost. And he's sitting out there. He had a revival. 120,000 people got saved. How many of you would be happy to see a revival like that? Wouldn't that be amazing if we went down to Tempe and all those students in that university got saved? Boy, that would be something. But you're so mad because you want to see that university destroyed. You're hoping God will change his mind and kill them all and destroy the city or destroy the university. Hello? Psalm 76, verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Do you know, even when we are angry and things like that, we'll end up giving God the glory before it's over with, even though the rest of it has to be restrained. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James 1, 19 and 20. You get mad. Some of you get real mad. And somewhere down along the line in your wrath, God restrains it and gets the honor and glory out of it. One day you wake up and say, what am I doing getting angry all the time? I'm not going anywhere with my anger. I'm not being successful at one cotton picking thing being angry. I mean, I get angry with the attitude and the way they behave. I got to go home and get a shot of correcting. Ask yourself why you aren't doing what we know we should do. Why aren't you doing it? Anyway, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In other words, when you get mad, you're not thinking about what God wants. You're thinking about what you want done. And that's what happened to Jonah. He sat on the east side of the city. Why the east side? I said perhaps it's the cooler side because when the sun comes up, it's not so hot till you hit the west. Yeah.
He came in from the west side. He probably went through the whole city, first of all, to put him on the east side. But coming in from the east from the west to the east, you think about that, you know, the Holy Spirit travels east to west. And I know this may not have much to do with it, but it just occurred to me.
Maybe he would have just gone home and said, praise the Lord, I hope things work out. You'll find out why the east side here a little bit, but it's a speculative reason. Why the east side? You know, if he came in from the west, came out the east, I guess he walked all the way through the city. I mean, it could be as simple as that. Okay, it could be as simple as that. But which direction will the Lord come? So which way is he traveling? Maybe because man is very contrary. Maybe you are just very contrary, huh?
Which way is the earth fit? West to east?
Clockwise. Which way does the earth? It turns clockwise, so it goes from east to west.
I thought because it was the world, it went the opposite direction.
I thought it was counterclockwise.
Yeah.
The sun rises in England before it gets to us, so what does that tell you?
That's clockwise.
You have the sun like this, and you have the earth spinning around like this.
Hey, let's debate the flat earth theory, okay? Yeah, it has to turn one way or the other. But why does things spin the opposite direction underneath on the southern hemisphere rather than the northern hemisphere? If it's turning in the same, maybe the earth's turning like this. One side's going one way, the other side's going the other way. I don't know.
The spin is counterclockwise, like this, the sun.
So the sun would rise in the west.
All right. early in the morning for this.
It's just a question. Now look, he made himself a booth. Why would he make a booth? No, he's not going anywhere. He's planning to stick around. He's hoping to see a change, and he wants his kind of change. Am I right or wrong?
It's one of those things. He wants to pull up a seat and prepare the popcorn for the show to happen.
I'm just letting you know. He made a booth. He's planning to stay a while. Why do we build houses? We're not planning to go anywhere. So in verse 5, we have this. Verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, there made a booth, and sat under the shadow till he might see what would happen to the city. Now, had 40 days transpired? He said, after 40 days, yet Nineveh shall be destroyed. Had the 40 days happened? He saw a revival. He's mad. He is your typical Christian. Doesn't know what he wants, but he does believe in God, but he doesn't know what he wants. I'm trying to tell you that Jonah is a snapshot of who the kind of people we are. I talked to Judy several times. We go out on the streets. We're mad going out on the streets. When we come back, we're glad we went. We don't want to go. But we get out there and God brings by something that's a blessing or an encouragement. Well, everything's changed. But see, you don't, unless you get motivated and go do it, you don't know what could have happened. Whenever I go out with anybody, you'd be surprised at how people are somber about going out. They're quiet about it because they're not quite, hey, it's not a thrilling thing. But when we come back, we're all because we had experiences. And it wasn't all bad. Yes, sir?
I can see you going down there sometimes and not necessarily being all mad about it myself, but trying to be prayerful about it, you know. And yet sometimes we'll get into these conversations about the day or whatever, you know. And I get down there and go, am I ready for this?
Yeah. You know? That's why there's nothing wrong with taking a break. Things come up or something stands in the way, there's nothing wrong with it. Don't let it bother you. I used to get very upset because folks in this church wouldn't do things. And you know what the Lord told me? He said they were doing this before you were here. They're going to do this after you're gone. You're responsible to present the truth and do it yourself. That's why I don't get frustrated. I try not to get flustered about just about anything anymore. We are who we are. And they were doing it before you got saved. They're going to do it after you get saved. I mean, you just do the best you can. And make sure you're saying what the Bible says to be true. And not what you personally think. What you think's not worth anything. Verse number 6. And the Lord prepared a gourd. And made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, delivering him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd. Question. Why would Jonah be glad for the gourd when he built a booth? That's one. I put that down myself. It probably covered him enough, but why the gourd? Gourd's a very, it's not a very big plant, but it has huge leaves on it that covers it. I put it down, it's a three-celled, many-seeded fruit as a melon, pumpkin, or cucumber, in the order of the cucumber, basically. But what's different about it is it tends to grow higher and has larger leaves. So the Lord prepared a gourd that actually overshadowed him where he sat.
What are you calling it?
A gourd. Yeah, that too. Anyway, the point is, he made something. Now, wait a minute. How many times we get happy when we see God's hand do something for us? Well, how many of us get happy when God does something for us? Lord, I need $10,000. Wow, there's the $10,000. But then the Lord brings along somebody that just takes that $10,000 from you. How many of you ever been tested like that? Susan and I were tested like that once. I don't tell you what the value of it, the monetary value, but we got it, and the Lord said, give it. And we just looked at each other. Man, and it wasn't 10,000, but I'll tell you this, it wasn't 10 bucks. It was closer to the 10,000. And the Lord said, it goes over there. Nothing like passing it along, and you get to look at it at least. But you know what? Lord later on really blessed us for. You see, the 10,000 wasn't what we needed. It was something else coming behind the 10,000. That's what we needed. Hello? Some of us see that and just. And then we find that dozens of other things bypassing us. Look, what a good example, that's Moses. He knew God was going to use him. But Moses chose when he was going to start being used. And you know what happened? What was supposed to go along and stay out of it, he snatched it and pulled it in. And he ran. He spent 40 years hiding. You might find yourself making some choices that have cost you years and years and years of blessing. What if Moses had stayed in God's will in the method with which the Lord wanted to present it? Well, that's just speculation on our part. It won't do us any good to try to go down the road. What we do know is what he did do. And Moses did get used. But look at what some of his mistakes while he was being used, how that cost him. I'm just trying to help you realize our life is full of success and failure. We had better start looking more at what it is we're supposed to do for those successes rather than what we want to create those failures. So here it is. The Lord prepared something. He got excited. He was glad for the gourd. How do you say it? That's what I've been saying, gourd. Gorge? Gourd, yes, sir? Say what?
What are some of the mistakes that Moses made?
Well, number one, he chose judgment for the Egyptian that was beating the Hebrew. That wasn't his job. And he killed the man, buried in the sand. Yeah, of course, he looked this way and that way. How many of us Christians have done that? We look this way and that way, and still somebody sees you, the Lord. And then he was in the backside of the desert for 40 years. And then when he was called, he argued with God.
Part of that was when he killed the Egyptian, and then the next day there were two Hebrew men that were striving with each other.
Yeah.
And he knew that you kill me as you killed that Egyptian. And so he knew
right away that it was all out.
Yeah.
And he was told to smite, he was told to speak to the rock, he decided to beat the rock. He's got a lot of successes. Kill me, Lord. Rather than deal with the what the real problem is, we get things all distorted. We've got to remember, some of the greatest men in the Bible were murderers. David was a murderer. Moses was a murderer. Killed people. Paul was a murderer. He was consenting unto Stephen's death. Some of the greatest men in the Bible were absolute failures who just figured it out. Everybody in this room is an absolute failure. Unless you figure it out. Hey, The Lord made this gourd because Jonah was no carpenter. That's what I put. Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd. You know why? It filled in all the holes in his booth. Jonah was happy because God had done something for him. Maybe he was doing the right thing, or maybe not. You know, sometimes we get God, well, God's blessing this. Maybe, maybe not. Be careful. Be careful. And I'll go on to show you that. Now it says he was exceeding happy, more than usual. More than usual. You ever seen a child get excited over a toy and then, boy, they're really getting happy over that thing. They're exceeding happy about it. All right? In Jonah 3:3, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. It's the only other time that word's used in Jonah. We're talking about an exceedingly big city. If you want to look at it in comparison, Nineveh could be like the Phoenix of today, the city of Phoenix. It's huge. And we can have a bad attitude about that city. So he was exceeding happy. He was excited. He was elated. Maybe sitting out here watching to see if God will change his mind, I'm doing the right thing. You have to be careful with this stuff. Verse 7. But God prepared a worm. When the morning arose the next day, and it smote the gourd, and it was withered. Okay, maybe things aren't as good as they should have been. God prepared a worm. Now take note of this. In Psalms 94, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of the law. Our whole life after getting saved is now an educational experience. When will we graduate from this university or this college? Can anybody tell me when you're going to graduate after getting saved? When are you going to graduate?
When you die. When the Lord comes and takes us out of
you. Yeah, when you die. You're in school for the remainder of your life. You're in a process of learning. You're in the process of growing in grace and knowledge. You're in the process of understanding this book. It is an ongoing, everyday thing. Somebody get Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And read me, I think it's where it talks about there is much weariness in studying. Is that verse 12 or verse 13? Just came into my head. Yeah, but I think it's verse 12 or 13. 12. Read 12. You know, we get tired of all this education. That's why some Christians get very tired. Because it's not going to stop. But that's why you need to understand what it is you have in front of you and why it's an eternal book and why it'll do things. And it'll do things for us. Huh? Well, but a lot of times we don't want our souls fed now, do we? And I don't have to look past, you don't have to look past the nose on your face to find that truth. You've gotten up in the morning, looked in the mirror and said, I'm fed up with this. It's what?
It's easy to get consumed by the world and led astray.
Well, that's because it's your choice.
So
we say it's easy, but believe you me, you've been worked on quite a while before you give it up. And you got Lot to look for that. He beheld the plains of what? Mamre. And then he lived in that. That's the world. Then he looked towards Sodom. And eventually he moved into Sodom. As you see my point? It's not an overnight process. you surrender over time because you think something's better. Psalm 94, verse 13, that thou mayest give him the rest of his days, that thou may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. The day's coming from them in your adversity. Psalms 94, 12 and 13. Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear the word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Our life is a life of being taught. One day we'll graduate. One day we'll graduate. There'll be no more need for teaching. But until then, yeah, you're going to get embarrassed. You're going to get upset. You're going to get bent out of shape because a teacher's always correcting us. How many of you went to school? Some of us made it past the third grade. Amen. That means for 3 years you were teachable. And my point is, as long as you realize what's going on, you can be taught. But the minute you become your own God and your own focus about everything that's going on, this is when you begin to fail. Now watch. It says there, but God prepared a worm. Now, four times God does something. He prepares something in Jonah. Four times. First, in Jonah 1:17, he prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now, this is not a fish story, and it's not fishy. My point here to you is this. You head out the wrong way, God will prepare something to try to straighten you out. But you know what? You may not like the ride. You think Jonah had a good time riding in the belly of that whale for 3 days? He didn't like it at all. Can you imagine? People say, can you imagine how he looked when he was spit up? You know something? I could look at that two ways. You know what? Maybe he looked just like Jonah because God preserved him. Or he sure did. He looked pretty smelly. His skin color had probably changed. You can look at it two ways. Sometimes God gets a hold of a Christian and puts him in a situation that he comes out permanently changed. Something has been physically has been changed. Other times it's all inside. Remember, your sin doesn't become obvious until it's become gross in you and you no longer feel that it's wrong. Why do you think people talk the way they talk? Why do you think people permit the things they permit? Because what was fuming inside, they've ultimately settled that it's going to be okay. So you know what? That sin comes out. That's why sodomy's a terrible thing. That's an affrontment to God. What else is an affrontment to God? Say what? Yeah. Gay, lesbian, transgender. What? How do they use that word now? Gay, trans. Well, whatever. It's. Huh?
Homosexual.
A homosexual, yeah. See, that I'm straight. So if I'm straight, what's that make them? Okay. You got it. Abortion is an affrontment to God. Why? Taking life. They said, well, when it's in the womb, it's different. Stop. They've already proven that the minute the conception takes place, the identity is formed. They've already gotten down that far into it and understand it. That's why this is such a big issue. You're seeing good and evil fighting about it. If you made me president, there'd be no more abortion, government sponsored. I'd write an edict and stop it right away. If you wanted to, yeah, that's what they're doing. That's what it is. But if it's, and I'll say it's between the doctor and the patient. I am not supporting your sin. You want to do it, It's between you and the doctor. Let you and the doctor pay the price. I'm tired of paying the price. We killed 880,000 babies last year in this country. God knows what around the world, yeah. No. Abomination is a better word. It's an abomination.
Yeah.
And they throw it up in his face. Now you had another one. God prepared a gourd. God prepared a gourd. How's that? Is that better? Am I doing better? I'm working on it with the gourd. John 4:6. He prepared a gourd. Now, was it a good thing? Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back to the fish. Was the fish a good thing?
Well, yeah, because it forced him to go preach to the Nineveh.
Did Jonah think it was a good thing?
That was a good thing because he was being corrected.
Did you think it was a good thing? If it was you and you got thrown overboard and you saw this big mouth coming up out of the water, would you think it's a good thing?
Not at the moment.
Absolutely. You'd look at that thing and go, ah, and it's done. Can you, yeah, see, some of you got imagination because you laugh. Yeah, oh, going overboard and suddenly the water begins to part and this huge mouth comes up. Yeah, you guys got imagination.
I got it.
Yeah?
He was from that place was part of Galilee. I forget the name of the town he was from that the Pharisees all missed.
Bethlehem?
No, it's another name. But anyway, he was close to the salt and sea, so maybe he thought over there that he'd be able to float. You know,
maybe that's why the fish was there. The point is, do you think the fish, God prepared a fish for you and you're being thrown overboard because of your own wickedness and you're going to be happy about it? Are you going to be happy about it? Now God prepared a gourd, right? Gourd. It's gourd. That's what I've been saying. Okay? He prepares it. Did Jonah think it was a good thing? Did it turn out to be a good thing for him?
Well, it gave him shame.
But did it turn out to be a good thing for him? No, because it died.
Because the Lord prepared a worm.
And we thought, wow, I'm doing right. You know, some of the stuff we go through is simply a lesson. Then he goes on, it says in verse number 4, or chapter 4, verse 7, that God prepared a worm. Now, was the worm a good thing?
No, because it destroyed the gourd.
Yeah. In Jonah's point of view, the worm wasn't a good thing. But what was the worm a good thing in the way the Lord was doing it?
Yeah, to teach Jonah a lesson.
See, you see how this works? Because he's going to do it again. God's going to prepare a vehement east wind. Okay? Is an east wind a good thing? And to our point of view, the winds of adversity are blowing in our face. This is not a good thing. The whole world's blowing in our face right now. It's not a good thing.
Well, and the city didn't come him from the wind because the wind was coming from the direction it was the opposite direction of the city. So yeah, he had no shelter.
See how your minds work? You're absolutely right. There's no wrong answer to this. But the point is, this east wind, is it a good thing?
Not to him. He doesn't like it at all.
We see things happening all the time. I call it the blessing and the curse. You're stuck in the curse. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Statistically, things should not be working out as well as they are for you based upon numbers. Does it ever occur to you there's someone getting in the mix there, changing things for you and protecting you from things? You count your blessings? Statistically, I'm trying to remember some things, but I think 90% of humans by the age of 35 have damaged their bodies one way or another permanently. In other words, have created, like lost a finger or have had to have surgery and something removed. Hello? What time is it? I got to hurry up. I wanted to finish this one. Some of you, you better count your blessings. I did pretty good up until 55. You ought to be thankful. I count my blessings, and I can go out, and I can still street preach, and I can still, and you ask anybody that's going out with me, I can still be as loud as I want. It hurts. Hurts a lot because I use stomach muscles and diaphragm, and I don't have those things in place anymore. But you know what? I can still get up, and I can still go out. Ask them. I'm still doing it. I don't want to. There's mornings I wake up, and I'm just as uncomfortable as I can be. It feels like my skin's tearing apart. Hey, count your blessings. Yeah.
Don't we have the power to kill ourselves?
To kill ourselves? Yeah, we sure do. Not without God's hand, you don't. You don't have any power. You don't have any power. They all think you do. That's why we got all these weird doctors now. We get whatever we get through him. You have to be careful how you use that because you're in the age of grace. Signs and wonders are not our focal point. It's wisdom and understanding. And there are miracles, and I have seen them happen. But you have to remember, the dispensations are there. God works in different ways. And all it is to prove that you're a failure and he's a success. God prepared a vehement east wind. You see that? It's mentioned some 20 times in the Bible, and over 90% of it's bad. The other 10% is basically neutral. All right? In Genesis 41:6, and behold, seven thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. There's not something good about that east wind. Lord prepared an east wind. We are facing that kind of wind right now in our walk. And the closer we get to the Lord's return, the more that wind is going to blow. Because wickedness in man doth abound. So these adversities, these battles, these east winds you're facing are here to refine us. Now, I didn't say it would help us all the time, but the Lord's trying to refine his people because the day's coming. Where would you rather be found? Sitting in front of a TV with a beer watching a filthy movie or out passing out a tract? Telling someone they need to know Jesus Christ when he shows up. That's just an example. Would you rather be found doing something right or something wrong? It's coming down to that. When that wind blew, look at the attitude, and this is how we are today. God prepared a vehement east wind, and you know what Jonah said? You know what Jonah said? How many of you know what Jonah said? This is great. This is wonderful. This is the best day of my life. Read it. It's what it says. No, it's not. He said this, it is better for me to die than to live. You know what a lot of us Christians want to do? Die. Some of us want to die physically. Most of us just want to be left alone spiritually. Let us go on our own way. Hello? Am I right or wrong? Who knows what is better for us than us? Who knows what's better for us than us? How many times have someone said, well, you shouldn't do that, and we come back and say, well, yeah, I know it's good for me. Come on.
No, you don't.
Come on. What's the matter? Y'all worried about the drink on the floor? What's better for you? You want to drink the drink off the floor, or would you rather drink it out of the cup? Then why do most Christians want to live their life in the dregs rather than the good stuff? Now, it is better is a phrase in the Bible. But some of you won't like what it says. Not up here. None of those, because it'll smell. You have to take it to the back. In Psalms 118, verse 8, verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in men. It is better to trust the Lord and put confidence in princes. Look at this. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, the gain thereof of fine gold. What's that? Wisdom. It is better is not what you think it is. In Proverbs 21:9, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. Hello? How many of you guys would agree with that? Come on, guys. How many of you would agree with that?
Amen.
It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for the end of all man and the living shall lay it to heart. It is better. You know, when we go to a wedding, we don't see the adversity of the wedding. We just see the pleasure of the wedding. We go to a funeral. You know what we see? A life. We see where all of it comes to an ultimate conclusion, the end of the whole thing. We see it. And then we look in the casket, or we look at the casket, and say, that's going to be me someday. Right? It is better to rebuke the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. You know, there's foolish out there, and people are listening to those birds. Verse 9. Here it goes. Now look, I showed you what God prepared, and all those preparations are to prepare you for life itself, or to understand the difference of things. What looks good may turn out bad. What's bad, what looks bad, may turn out good. Am I right or wrong? But it's all in the Lord's hand. It's all what the Lord says and sees. We don't see the whole parade. He does. And then he asked Jonah this one question. Dost thou do well to be angry? You know, there's a lot of angry people out there now. There's a lot of angry people now, and a lot of them are Christians. They are just as angry as they can be over their situation, their life, what it should and should not be. And the Lord says, dost thou well to be angry? You know what Jonah said? It sure does. It sure does.
Even if I die. No.
He asked the question. Dost thou do well to be angry? Now, I found two verses that might be of interest to you. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And there's one other interesting verse. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel, it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? You know what we find out about anger? You get hasty. You overload your mouth to spite your face. Yeah.
Can you give those references again?
Yes. Ecclesiastes 7:9 and Ecclesiastes 5:6. I'm going to stop there. There's too much activity.
Yeah.
We'll start with verse 9 again. Okay? We'll stop right there.